Are we sure we want to do this?
Could you, like, make an announcement that we're ready?
It's the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
All right, from now on, whenever I think of Barry Bonds, I will think of a horrible, horrible disease. I don't know. Cover a lot of ground in the crossover today, as mentioned.
It really swung there. We were pretty focused.
Oh, yeah, there was sports. And then we kind of just kept going, kept pushing it. I'm not sure what the bridge was to get from Barry Bonds.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
To the rest of it, but here we are. We actually will talk about that today. During
tuberculosis?
This not that.
Oh, okay.
It's now being dubbed tuberculosis. I know nothing about the story, by the way. I'm uninformed, so that was all news to me. I want to take it seriously. It's a thing that I don't understand. We'll learn more information about it. Actually, maybe not. But we will talk about that Hall of Fame thing today, as that announcement will come down at 5. Looks like it might only be one. And it's going to be David Ortiz, likely, in on his first try. There's an outside possibility, I suppose, that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get in. There's also an outside possibility that nobody gets in this year, which would be another weird black eye for baseball. As I mentioned, the crossover, it feels like anytime we talk about baseball, it's stupid.
They can't have nobody go in this year. That would just be...
This sport can't get out of its own way.
Awkward optics.
Anytime we talk about it, it is... Yes. Oh, I guess baseball's on a lockout. There's a work stoppage. So I guess we're just not inviting anyone into the Hall of Fame anymore.
What do you think of? If I say David Ortiz, word association, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Big Poppy.
Yeah. Okay.
Red Sox.
Mine is our bleeping city.
That's a great one.
Like, that's instantly what I think
of. Huge moment for his career,
yeah.
For sure. Honestly, we could just do it right now. But it's so dumb. It's so dumb that we think that way. I suppose that's how we remember things. But like, I think because of that moment, we view David Ortiz as a favorable figure or whatever it is. And
he's a folk hero in a lot of ways.
He's a folk hero, and I'm not against that. That was awesome. That was a great speech.
Yeah.
After the Boston Marathon bombings. And I was watching live that, well, most people were, because it was the moment after the, it was the first thing to happen there. It was the whole Pride of the City thing. And they play it at like 11 a.m. You know, it's always a weekday afternoon game. But they were playing the Royals. So I was watching intently on live TV, and I go, And he steps up and he goes, "This is our bleeping CD." I'm like, "Whoa, that just happened on live television and nobody seemed to care."
No one cared.
That's awesome. Definitely one of the better moments of his career. But, you know, he also had some postseason home runs and had, what, over in the neighborhood of 500 home runs in his career.
Yeah,
I think he hit 500.
It's baseball is not the first thing I think of.
Yeah, 541 home runs.
Also, let's not forget, he was shot.
He was shot, but that was after his career.
People forget he was shot.
Never, but like, look, we're talking about sluggers that kind of dominated their time, and being on the Red Sox helps here too. They were viewed like he was the face and the voice of those teams. It went on to become movies, documentaries. You know, nobody had come back from a 3-0 series deficit before to do it against the Yankees and the whole, you know, Dave Roberts. Like, he's the face of all of it. never won an MVP, had a very good career, probably a Hall of Fame worthy career, but he's going to go in today, and there's still some question about steroid usage, and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens likely will not. There's not much question about their steroid usage, I suppose. And I don't know. They never really had those. You're right, Josh. The moments are super important. The moments where you know, what are you the face of? And what kind of defines your career is stuff that happens outside of the statistical piece of baseball. But when you look at it, as I like to do in a, I like to pull up the baseball reference pages. You're looking and you see all the bold on Barry Bonds' page, which means he led the league. And the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 MVPs and the all-time home runs leader and the 8-time gold glove and the 2-time batting title and a 12-time silver slugger and a 14-time all-star. You know, you're like, what? That guy's not going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame? And you grow, and like growing up while this is happening, you retired in 2007. It's been on the ballot. This is his 10th year on the ballot. You know, growing up while this is happening, you don't understand the politics, as I mentioned, that kind of go into this. And now finding out about it later, it is life, or, you know, as it's kind of happening, you're like, man, what is this guy the face of? He's honestly, Barry Bonds is the face of steroids.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Which
yeah,
is probably why people want to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. What else is he the face of?
The Giants post, you know, 1990, whatever you want to call it.
Does it change for him if he wins a World Series?
Maybe. I don't know how much.
Yeah. Like if they win the 0-2 World Series and we look at that and say, oh, that guy in the postseason or in the World Series that year, I rattled off the numbers before. But whatever the numbers were, I mean, he hit 4 home runs in the series and hit like his OPS was 2,000.
I think most ring culture guys would be like, you know what? Steroids cancels out the rings. You only won the rings because of.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird. We treat baseball so much differently.
We do. Passan's got a column on ESPN.com today where he talks about the plaque at the entrance of baseball's Hall of Fame literally shares their mission statement as preserving history. Those are the two words. That's their mission statement.
Yep.
Preserve history. And at the end of the day today, they will likely not have the all-time hits leader, the all-time home run leader, and arguably the best pitcher in the modern era.
Oh yeah, the best, the pitcher that dominated the era of my. I mean, this, like, I'm 29 years old. I grew up in the steroid era.
Yeah,
this is just it. Like these are the people of my childhood. If Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are playing, I'm watching. I just am. Like that was baseball for me. And I always feel like, and Gary was saying something similar to this. This is what I've always said. I don't think you could tell the story of baseball without including these guys in it. I think the Hall of Fame should be a snapshot in time of what your sport was. If you want to make note of it in the hall, like if you want to say,
sure,
well, this, you know, there were questions, or however you want to frame it, that's fine. But these guys belong with the greatest players of all time because they were. Even in the steroid era, there was a lot of great players in the steroid era. And I'm not saying you have to let all of them in, but you can grade them on a curve too. These guys still were ahead of the curve for their time. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds in the steroid era dominated it. Even though that, you know, they were using steroids. In the steroid era, they dominated it. They were the face of it. I think that belongs in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens won 7 Cy Youngs. Like, and if you're a kid growing up during this time, you're not like, well, I don't know. He's kind of a jerk, and he, you know, he he might use steroids, and I'm like, it's kind of weird how he's pitching so well into his 40s and all this stuff. Like, you didn't think about that. You were just like, oh my God, this guy's throwing 99 miles an hour. And he threw a half broken bat at Mike Piazza. Like, this dude's a badass. How's the Clemens guy? You know? And then obviously the career numbers speak for themselves. It's just really interesting how we treat these things. And then by the way, we'll look at the future eligibility list. Like, I read off some names for the 20. Like, nobody else is coming on this ballot that's like, yeah, we got to put this guy in.
We're just not going to put anyone in the hall for 5 years?
Maybe. There's a debate about Beltran. I don't know that anybody that comes on next year immediately gets in. Maybe there's a couple guys in the ballot right now who it takes some time for.
In the absence of an A-lister, quote-unquote.
Right.
They might get in.
I mean, Roland will be on his sixth try next year. A-Rod looks like he's tracking to be there at some point. Getting late for Manny Ramirez, but he would have gained more support probably by now. A whole bunch of guys are going to fall off, and then new guys are going to go on next year. Just looking at the numbers and how they look right now, Bonds, Clemens, Ortiz, Curt Schilling, Scott Rolen are the only ones with like reasonable numbers that are kind of tracking that way. Andrew Jones maybe eventually is going to need to gain some more support. There's not many Hall of Famers that actually are on the ballot right now, and I don't know that there's that many Hall of Famers, especially if we're not electing Bonds and Clemens. I don't know if there's that many Hall of Famers that come on next year. I would love to put Bartolo Colon in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think it's happening. James Shields goes on the ballot, by the way, in a couple of years. James Shields is one of my favorite baseball players of all time. But he also gave up a home run to Bartolo Colon, so that probably immediately eliminates him.
Bartolo Colon, Hall of Fame body.
Yeah, it's exactly
not right. A Hall of Fame body of work.
No, I don't think so. Let's take a phone call. We got Mike on the line. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys, great show. One name I didn't hear you guys talk about is Mark McGwire.
Yeah.
You know, his career, even outside of the amazing run him and Sammy made, he was a Hall of Fame shoo-in. I mean, two World Series, MVP, Rookie of the Year. I mean, his numbers consistently were phenomenal, and I don't hear his name anywhere.
Well,
and it just kind of shocks me.
Yeah, he fell off the ballot. He fell off the ballot a year or two ago, I want to say, at this point, because he had done his 10 years on there and didn't get the appropriate votes, so he fell off. So now he has to go to some sort of committee. And however that works down the line. But I'm with you. He's in the same category of those guys. Awesome career numbers, dominated an era, certainly was the face, obviously was the face of, the McGwire Sosa thing. Like, yeah, that was amazing. I'm with you on that one. I think most of those guys should be in. We think about them because they dominated a period of time.
Even before the steroid scandal, I mean, you look at him from 88 to 92. I mean, he was kind of the face of baseball with the Oakland A's, and hitting 45 to 50 home runs a year without the juice. I don't know. It's just too bad, because the money MLB made off their run and their it just doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. It doesn't. And by the way, like, I know we, none of these guys are looked at as particularly, like, nice guys or, whatever.
Or apologetic about anything surrounding them.
Right, right. However, I mean, the conversation around McGwire is, did he help save the game of baseball? with the home run chase with Sosa. I'd heard that conversation really throughout my life. It's like, well, feels like baseball's interest is here.
Thanks for saving the game. We'll let you be a hitting coach.
It's just really odd to me. And as I mentioned earlier, really politicky. Oh yeah, and then we mentioned the guy a couple weeks ago, Dan Shaughnessy, who decides to put on his ballot one vote for Jeff Kent. That vote won't go anywhere because Jeff Kent's by the public votes that we have, or that we can see so far, he's at 32%, which falls well below the 75%.
These sanctimonious writers need to just, like, the whole process needs to be overhauled.
Well, okay. So then there's that part, too. I've said this before. I don't mind the idea. It's a lot like the Heisman. You have so many voters from everywhere. You're adding people from, you know, you're adding people every year. Mm-hmm. You are getting it from different perspectives. You are getting it from different areas of the country. People approach it from different ways. So if you have so many votes, that should be a reflection of maybe the population mm-hmm. in some sort of way. I don't know. Maybe we are split as a society on whether Bonds or Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. I feel like most of what I hear now is, yeah, I mean, let those guys in. Maybe there's just a too great a percentage in those writers that still have a vote that are like, you know, and not to paint them into the corner, but, you know, I'm an old baseball guy.
A lot of them own that corner. A lot of them shout from that corner that they love that corner.
That's true. I don't hear it much on TV anymore, though, like when I watch MLB Network. It's usually a newer voice. Maybe the voting population should reflect that a little bit more. But yeah, it's odd the way we kind of treat that thing. So that's coming at 5:00. I would just expect David Ortiz. And then the conversation about steroids and letting those guys in or not in. It happens after that. Like I said, looking at the next couple of years, we're going to be looking at, like, all right, we're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel to maybe get one or two guys elected in the next couple of years. Maybe this is a moment where a guy could get in because he, you know, accumulates so much support because there's just not many guys in the ballot. And meanwhile, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens spent 10 years on it and, you know, didn't really. I mean, they were at what? Bonds was at like 63, I think, last year or something like that. It's going to be hard to pick up the extra, you know, 12% I think needed. I'm pretty sure that was the number that he was at last year. I guess I could, I don't know if it's on the tracker here, but. Oh, yeah, 2021. Clemens was at 65, Bonds was at 65 last year. They both need 10 more percent. So, all right, we'll take a break here. It's a good conversation to start things off. But like I said, anything we talk about, anytime we talk about baseball, it seems to be like, this is weird. Why does this sport keep shooting itself in the foot? I don't know. And frankly, like I'm a baseball guy and I care about it regionally. And, you know, so it when people bring up these conversations of like, how do we save baseball? They don't even really apply to me because I'm watching it no matter what. Like the conversations about why isn't this sport more popular than, you know, why is the NBA beating it or why is the NFL beating it? Like those don't really apply to me. I just don't really care that much because I'm going to watch baseball no matter what. But I understand that, you know, it doesn't particularly bode well for the future of the sport. You need more numbers.
Which morning show talking head is the first to get out there tomorrow morning with
This is a sport that can't even keep its doors open. Yeah. And of course it doesn't put in Bobs and Clemens.
Yeah, the optics of not letting in those guys this year while your sport's in a lockout, it's pretty, I don't know, mostly funny, actually. That'll be the way they talk about it tomorrow. For sure. Whichever one hits the air first, Josh, to answer your question. All right.
Mike Greenberg. Got it.
Get up. No exclamation
point. No exclamation point. Thank you.
Plenty to come on the show today. Alan Bell will join. We will recap the weekend in the NFL and what to look for. I got to ask him about those look-ahead lines for the Super Bowl that we talked about yesterday. Really interesting stuff there. We will have NFL reaction over reaction in the show today. Actually, quite a bit of NFL talk. Tom Chattel of the World Herald, Robin Washett of Husker Online. That is your lineup. Powered by the referees at John Higgins Weather Guide. Would love it if you got in touch with the show. Give us a call, 402-951-1620, just like Mike did there in the first segment. Appreciate the call. And email to Connor at 1620thezone.com on the Equitable Bank inbox. We'll come back and fire it up on a Tuesday next on 1620 The Zone.
Back and better than ever.